baby Jesus on the little cross of Mary. It is the Carell Cast, internationally renowned talk show host Charles Carell Boulle, coming to you live from my backyard in Long Beach, California at Park Howard. So glad you are here today. The gardener's next door driving my co-host, Ember the LBC pup, out of her mind. But it's one of the few pleasures in she's life she has, and I'm not taking it from her. Gay, 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 I am up to my earballs with gay, but don't get me wrong, love them. I'm going to tell you why. Trump's travel ban, there's a ruling, and we can all rest easy. Melania and the Antichrist Baron have taken residency in the people's house. I don't know if I feel better or worse about that. I am going to log into my website, reallycarell.com, right now, because I know right now there is such a great group of individuals waiting for me there. Friends, people who have become my friends through radio, who support the show, who give through Patreon. Do you know that a gentleman that I've never met in my life, ever, sent me $200, and then he sent me an email to make sure that I got it, and I hadn't? Well, I finally got it yesterday, and he said it was for a year's worth of shows, and I was very honored, and I said, thank you. I bought $90 worth of pot. I went to dinner. I paid for Uber. I did a lot of stuff that I needed to do because that man gave me that money. And so y'all think that it doesn't matter, but it does. It does. Who's in my chat room saying what? Carell, thanks, Jason, for sharing that video of Roger Waters. Never saw it. Carell, please don't make fun of someone like McCain for his age. I'm not a huge PC guy, and I realize you are a comedian. You talk so derogatorily about old age. No, I didn't. Making fun of old people's grandpas who want banana sandwiches remind me of calling older men trolls. They are trolls. I'm a troll. I am now a troll. It is not funny or entertaining. It's rude and sounds bigoted. I love your show, but don't attack old people. What do you mean? I am an old person. Screw you. You know what? John McCain seemed like the old senile granddad in the corner, blubbering his lips, touching himself inappropriately, and making banana sandwiches. Now, if you don't like that, oh well. And am I saying that all old people get that way? No! I know people that are 100 that are still kicking. I know people 70, 80, 90 that should be in the Senate. John McCain? Not one of them. Maybe the torture did something to him? I don't know. He's senile. Okay? Now, that's not an age thing either. You can lose your frickin' mind at 20. There's proof of that everywhere. John McCain is senile. The man couldn't form a sentence. He has one of the most important jobs in the country. Okay? He's not of sound mind and body. Am I picking on the old person? No. Do I make fun of old people? Of course I make fun of old people. Humans make fun of people. Get the hell over it. You know what? Old people are funny. They fart and don't care. Old people are hysterical. I love old people. I'm the only host that has featured more old people on my show throughout life than any other host. I've done shows from nursing homes. I've gone and interviewed people over 80 just to hear what they have to say and had them on my show. I value every older person that I ever meet. But John McCain? Honey, I keep it real on this show. If you don't like it, don't listen to me. Go someplace else, baby. But yeah, if you're old and you can't take someone making fun of you, then you learn nothing along the way. Can I just tell you that? If you're 60 or 70 or 80 and you can't handle someone making fun of you, then you learn nothing along the way because you, old person, are just as guilty of reverse discrimination against the young. When you see young people, you think they're stupid. You think they don't know anything. You think they've got so much to learn. You might discredit some of the things they say or do. Why? Because they're young. And rightfully so. You don't know shit until you're 30. Okay, so I mean, you know, rightfully so. But that being said, it's all in good fun. And that's what America has forgotten. Everybody has forgotten. Yes, I've walked off camera. Sorry, I need a pencil. Everyone has forgotten what we're all supposed to be doing here. And that's living, loving, having a good time. You know, having a grand time. But we're not. So everything's life or death. Every joke is too horrible. Everything is too much. Look, I've had the most tumultuous weekend inside my head, okay? I have put myself through hell this weekend. Let me tell you why. Two moral dilemmas. Maybe you guys can help me at reallycarell.com in the chat room or over at facebook.com/reallycarell. Yes, making fun of senility is the funny part. Do you know in China, I'm not making this up. They have a restaurant in China called Wrong Order Restaurant. That's what it's called. Because their servers all have dementia. And you never know if they're going to get it right or not. And you don't get to send it back. You just get what you get. And the restaurant has a waiting line to get in called Wrong Order, not making this up. They hired people with dementia. That's freaking hysterical. Now, come on. That's roll on the floor funny. Yeah, I ordered the chicken. Ah, yes, lobster. Come on. You know? So anyway, speaking of television, all my topics are going to all sort of merge in today. I need your help. Now, you can either email me at feedback@reallycorrell.com, or you can call me. In fact, I'll open the phone lines right now, if you want, to live calls at 213-985-3527. Let's open this up. 213-985-3527. 213-985-3527. Because I have a moral dilemma, and I need your help. And I don't normally have these moral dilemmas, okay? So I really need the help of the... There's my Skype. I really need the help of those of you out there because I'm having a real moral dilemma. Okay, are you ready? Spread this around, too. I want comments on this. On Facebook.com/ReallyCorrell, right below me, right down there, put comments. For those of you watching on my website, on YouTube, right over there, right over there to the right is the chat room. I'm pointing. Please go there and tell me what you think, because here's my moral dilemma. I may be moving to Vegas. That really may be happening, people. I'm thinking of it heavily. We're going to do a week of shows from Las Vegas next month. I'm going to go out for a week, do a whole week of shows from there, see what I like about it, or if I don't. If I do, I'm going to sell my house and pay for a house in Vegas outright and have zero mortgage and have no debt. I don't care if I'm living in hell at that point. That sounds wonderful. So here's my moral dilemma. I've been watching a lot of HGTV. And as they know, so has a lot of the nation. Their ratings are way up. People are sick of politics. They're done with it. So they're turning to HGTV in record numbers, not making that up. And one of my favorite shows on HGTV, by the way, travel ban upheld. Trump's travel ban will go to the Supreme Court, and they're going to uphold it too, because it's unconstitutional. And yes, he's being sued by two other people. We're going to tell you about that later. But right now, my dilemma, that's all about me. Let's talk about me. So I watched this show called Fixer Upper. How many of you know the show Fixer Upper? Raise your hand, unless you're driving. How many of you know the show Fixer Upper? How many? Chip and Joanna Gaines. How many of you know the show? Okay, how many? How many? Because this is exactly what's wrong with America. It plays right into the resistance march this last weekend. The response to the resistance march. My dilemma over the resistance march, which I have another dilemma to go over with you. So for those of you that watch Chip and Joanna Gaines, know that I love them. And that they are, to me, Carell and Andrew. They are on air what made Andrew and I so special. A married couple that bickers back and forth but loves each other so much. The redhead's so cute. One of them over the top crazy. The other more pragmatic. They are Carell and Andrew, Chip and Joanna Gaines. They really are. And all of my friends have said that. Oh, they remind me so much of you guys. So I love watching the show. I love the transformations. I love it all. I was talking to Karen. I said, Karen, oh, someone's calling me. This better be about what I'm talking about right now. 4663. Hello, it is the Carell Cast. Hello. Hello. See, you don't
This matter is very serious.
See, he doesn't want to help my moral dilemma at all. Anyway. Hi, Ember. You want to help my moral dilemma? Well, she did, kind of. So, I was talking to Karen. And I said, I love this show. It's called Fixer Upper. It's on HGTV, and it's set in Waco, Texas, Karen. And I see a lot of the hill country where you and I have driven around and where as a kid I remember being. And this couple, they're so sweet. They're so nice. They own a farm. They have four kids. They raise goats and chickens and animals. It's so much like me and Andrew. And they make families so happy. And then I said, except they've never had a same-sex couple in four seasons. And HGTV normally does. And Karen said, well, how many same-sex couples could there be in Waco? I said, well, you're right. So we went to the Central Texas Gay and Lesbian page. First thing on it, Waco is a conservative Baptist town. That being said, progress is being made. However, Waco is the conservative Baptist town home of Baylor University, which, get this, Baylor University in Texas sued a theology student for a scholarship back. They wanted the money back. Why? Because they found out he was gay. Can you believe that? And this ain't in ancient history. So Chip and Joanna live in Waco and work in Waco. And I said to Karen, God, I hope they're not raging homophobes. I would hate that because I love the show and they seem so cool. And they've done interracial couples, which today is the anniversary of the legalization of interracial marriage. It's also the anniversary of PULTS. We're going to talk about that. And I said, gee, I hope that, you know, they're not homophobes. Well, she said you should look on Google. So I Googled, are Chip and Joanna Gaines homophobic? And what do you know? In November, and this is where I want your opinion because this is my dilemma, and I really want your opinion. Email me at feedback@reallycorrell.com or call me at 213-985-3527. In November, BuzzFeed did a sort of non-article about Chip and Joanna Gaines. They never spoke to them, okay, at all. They did not interview them. However, they found out that they went to a church in Waco whose preacher, surprise, surprise, is against gay marriage and is also for reparative therapy, thinks that I can be changed from being gay. Okay, their preacher. So in the story, it demanded to know if Chip and Joanna Gaines were for or against same-sex marriage, and they wanted to know the position of HGTV. Well, HGTV immediately fired back with their generic, look, we are all inclusive, we've had gay hosts, we have gays on all of our shows, you lesbians, whatever, trans, we are totally fine with it. All of our shows on our network are totally fine with it, so this is a non-story. Their release from HGTV said, every show on our network is inclusive of all members of the community, gay, lesbian, straight, bi, transgendered, whatever. So that's that. That was their statement. Chip and Joanna Gaines, however, did not make a statement at all. Then the alt-right got a hold of the story and started defending Chip and Joanna Gaines, even though they've said nothing through this, and started saying that the gays and the liberals were trying to persecute a good Christian family for their good Christian beliefs. So all of a sudden, in print, in November and December, a huge war erupts between the left and the right about Chip and Joanna Gaines because they go to a church whose preacher is anti-gay and believes in reparative therapy. They had not made a statement up until January about anything at all, except when the reporters started getting death threats, Chip did say, leave the reporters alone, have some respect, and the dilemma. And it's all right, and he's coming on. You gotta listen right now in his little free app. You gotta listen right now in his little free app. All you got to do is go to any app store of your choice and download the Carell Cast, and you've got all of me, honey. It is the Carell Cast, my thoughts with Morgan Mallory from that song, Larger Than This Life. He just lost his brother. He knows he's in my heart. I love him. Don't forget, June 22nd, Stronger Together, the music video and the single debuts just 6 days before the celebration of the Stonewall riots. And this weekend proved we are stronger together. We're going to talk about the resistance march and the backlash against it. But let's go back to my dilemma, speaking of backlash. HGTV employs Chip and Joanna Gaines, their number one show, Fixer Upper. I love it. There's a flipper flop Las Vegas where they're trying to be Joanna Gaines, but she just reminds me of a cheesy showgirl, and he reminds me of an in-the-closet MMA guy. So, anyway. So, I then read that BuzzFeed said they go to a church where the preacher's homophobic. Well, believes in reparative therapy. Which, by the way, so does our vice president. So, their preacher believes what our vice president believes, okay? They never said anything. So, gays got mad. So the right takes up their cause because they're not saying anything, so the right steps in for them, just like they did here with Prop 8. So they just keep doing their show. Finally, in January, Chip releases a statement that says, look, it's been a tough time, and we are not about throwing rocks. We are about building things. We are builders. We are restorers. We are about making people of all kinds happy in their new homes, which they're renting out, by the way, with Airbnb, and the Gaineses are very angry about that. They do these houses for these people, and they think they're doing it for them, and then they rent it out. It's like they're putting something in the contract to prevent that. Oh, and by the way, if you watch Fixer Upper, they don't choose a home at the beginning. That's all fake. I was crushed about that. It's all fake. The person already has the house or is in escrow for the house. So that's just horrible. They're all fake. But anyway, so they've never said anything homophobic on their TV show. They have never publicly said that they would not do a same-sex couple, and I bet in season 5 there will be one, but there hasn't been so far. They released a blog that said, we have our own personal beliefs. Now, is that Chip saying that he agrees with the pastor or that he disagrees with the pastor? Because he says our beliefs are our own personal beliefs. Is he distancing himself? Is he not? He then says, you know, love everybody, build up, don't throw rocks, a house divided cannot stand. Just because someone's disagreeing with you doesn't mean they're evil or the Antichrist and all of that. Almost a hate the sin but love the sinner sort of take. But I think Chip is too naive to actually realize that's what he did. So that's their only statement. Love everybody. Don't throw rocks. We need to stand together. And if you disagree, it doesn't mean the person that you're disagreeing with is the most horrible person in the world. So that's their only statement. So do I watch the show or not? I love it. I still have season 4 to watch. They're doing season 5 now. They've never said anything anti-gay on television. They've never said anything anti-gay publicly. They simply said their beliefs are their own, that they have personal beliefs, and they're about building bridges and all of that. Are they homophobes? I don't know. Are they people who aren't homophobes but don't believe in same-sex marriage? Because there are Christians who don't hate gays, and they wouldn't discriminate against a gay, but they don't think they should get married. There are those Christians. They like, look, I don't mind you, I don't mind that you're gay, and I'm fine with domestic partnerships, but marriage. And they don't get the whole argument, and I'm not going to go through the argument for same-sex marriage again. It's a settled one. And I'm not going to go into how ridiculous reparative therapy is. Now, I wanted the Gaines to come out and say, of course we believe in inclusion for everybody and equal rights for all. That's what I wanted them to say. Well, they didn't act like I wanted them to. But they haven't done anything against me. They have not donated to any bad charities outside of their church. They haven't said what their preacher has said. So are they responsible for what their preachers... Weren't we asked this about President Obama? Was Obama responsible for what his preacher preached? Are the Gaines as responsible, and should I watch the show? I would love your input into this topic. Please call me at 213-985-3527, 213-985-3527, or email me, okay? Email at feedback@reallycorrell.com, feedback@reallycorrell.com. I want people to love what I do, not because of the fact that I'm gay, but because I'm a good entertainer. If you're anti-gay, I have no problem if you listen to my show. I'm not going to say you can't. So if they don't believe in same-sex marriage, should that affect how I view her design skills? Should that affect how I view the entertainment value of their television show? Knowing that personally, if they met me, they may love me and decorate a house for me, but they wouldn't for me and my husband. Now, they've never said they wouldn't. So do I watch or do I not? Are they guilty because their church is guilty? Or do we give everyone a chance on their own? And should they have spoken out more strongly and by not wanting to get in the fray? Because that's what they said. They're like, look, we're not throwing a rock into this mess. We're not doing this. We love everybody. We don't think that you should have any enemies like this. No one should demonize anybody because they disagree with each other. You know, we're not doing it. So should I respect them for not, you know, getting into the fray? Or... are they just avoiding it to try to save their careers and their empire? $5 million empire now. 213-985-3527 and feedback@reallycorrell.com. I would love to hear what you have to say about that. If you're listening to this show, you know I live a mixed up crazy life of everything from superstars to downright poverty. That's why I created Life in Segments. It's my world and your world reflected on TV. Go to lifeinsegments.com to watch now. Told myself I'd be the first one out the door. Hey, it is the Carell Cast. I am Carell, Charles Carell Boulle, heard internationally right now from my backyard, Park Howard, here in Long Beach, California. I hope to strike a deal in Las Vegas with some place where they'll let me broadcast from there for free in exchange of giving them all the publicity of saying every day I'm broadcasting live from X. We'll see if I can work that out. Anyway, So, you know, my dilemma about the TV show played into the weekend because I have regret today, and I don't normally have regret, and this is something really new for me. I regret not going to the Resistance March yesterday. Now, I didn't go because I say, look, I resist every day on air. And for 25 years being a big media figure, openly gay, not just when it suited me, but gay from the get-go, not after I had my 50 stations and comedy tour, but gay from the get-go, that's been a form of resistance from the get-go. And so I just didn't see a need to go. And I thought it's going to be, you know, this, it's going to be that, and the traffic's going to be... You know, I found a million excuses. Plus, I know that I would have recorded audio, I would have recorded video, I would have worked. And I didn't feel like getting up at 6 in the morning, getting in a car at 7 to get to L.A. at 8 to work, to interview Gavin Newsom or to do this or to do that. I just didn't want to. So my day of resistance wasn't even about gay rights. It was about having to get to L.A., work, talk to people, interview people, march, you know, all of that. Maybe with a bad back, who knows what would happen. So I didn't go. I regret that. Because one of the reasons I didn't go is I said they mean nothing. It means nothing. I said that yesterday. I said it means nothing. You know, all these people, they go and march to make themselves feel good. Because every other day of the year, they don't do very much. Not all of them, but most of them. You know, 364 days out of the year, they don't know who their senator is, who their congressperson is. They're not calling them regularly about legislation. They're not emailing, people. They're not showing up at other rallies and other things. They're not putting their weight behind political candidates. They're not taking time to examine all the issues. Most of them show up on that day, wave a banner, and think they've done something. And I find that sort of upsetting because I thought it doesn't do a thing, you know? It's all just for nothing, really. Well, today I woke up to the news coverage. And in the news coverage, comments on Facebook and social media, it just is the worst thing invention ever. And every negative person had posted on the positive coverage of the resistance marches across the country. See, my thing yesterday was like, who are you trying to resist? Donald Trump? Well, he's in New Jersey at a golf course that we're paying for, not watching the resistance march. In fact, he's speaking to evangelicals about their little snowflake rights. So, you know, you're not getting through to Donald. So who is this march for? So today when I saw all the haters, what were they resisting anyway? They got their rights. None of their rights have been taken away. And I was like, they're wrong. He's already reversed this. He wants to grant a religious freedom law, which is just discrimination. We're being murdered in Chechnya. Let's not forget that every single day. We've got, you know, we in 29 states, there is still no ENDA. There is still no national Employment Non-Discrimination Act. Congress did not pass it. We can still be fired for being gay in 29 states, and it's completely legal. But these people are like, what are they resisting? Because they think same-sex marriage, and this is what I told all these queers. For all these years, we fought this marriage battle like it was the only battle that there was. And now, straight people are like, look, you can get married. We don't want to hear from you anymore. And that's what the coverage is. We don't want to hear from you. Why are you marching through the streets? You got your rights. What's the problem? And that's, I thought, well, then that right there is why they had to march through the streets then. To let these people know that they are not, in fact... See, I don't know who's calling me. They don't know. You know, they don't want us around. They don't want to see us. They're tired of us fighting for our rights, the Trump supporters. So I could go into all the things they said and my comments back to them today because I got very angry. You know, people were saying, oh, they're fascists because they won't let that gay Trump supporter march in their parade. And I said, actually, we're the reverse of fascists. We are keeping the fascist out of the parade. Learn your terminology. A fascist wanted to march in the parade. If you are a Trump supporter, you are a fascist or an oligarch by the definitions of the words. Then the other thing I loved was that on Saturday there was some national day against Sharia law. Get this, this is how far Islamophobia has come. A national day against Sharia law in the United States. First of all, we just signed an agreement with Saudi Arabia to sell them $120 billion of arms, and they this year have chopped off 64 heads under Sharia law. I don't hear people screaming about Sharia law when they're going to fill up their car with gas. They're ignorant effing morons, okay? They also don't realize that Sharia law does not just mean Muslim law or the Quran. Sharia law means any time a religion injects itself in politics. In other words, theology. It is the Arab word for a theocracy. Sharia law equals theocracy. That's our term for it. Theocracy. So they're out there on Saturday protesting Sharia law in America. Not making this up, these Trump supporters. And guess what? They're doing it in the name of Christianity, which means they want Christian Sharia law. Christians in America have no problem with Sharia law so long as it's their God that's making the rules. They only have problems with Sharia law when it's a Muslim God making the rules, when it's Allah instead of Yahweh. That's how stupid these people are. I mean, that's how ridiculously stupid these people are. So I started to address all this and say, look, you've got the words wrong. And finally, I realized the problem with my country and the reason I don't like it, and I don't like America right now, and anyone says that I'm a bad person, F you. You know what? You can be married to someone and love them, but not like them at the time. It is very easy to be in love with something and not like it. If you're old enough to know better, you know what I'm saying is true. You can love your husband, but there are some times you hate him. Okay? So I'm that way with my country right now. I do not like it. I do not like the way it's going. I don't like its policies, and I don't like most of the people in it, and that is the truth. Because now, these people don't want to be educated. If you tell someone, well, you're protesting Sharia law, but let me tell you why that's futile and why it doesn't make sense, they don't want to know that. If someone's posting a negative comment about the resistance march, about, well, they already have their rights, and you say, wait a minute, we still can be fired for being gay, there's the Chechnya thing going on, there's this going on, there's religious freedom laws that are about to be passed so people don't have to bake us cakes. No, we're not in great shape, it's going backwards. If you were trying to tell them that, they don't want to know. They don't want to know. The ignorant in America now wear their ignorance with pride. They think it's great to be so stupid, and they don't want to know. They don't want to learn because there's comfort in their little ridiculousness, in their anger, in their stupidity. It's easy. It's self-contained. They don't have to think about it. They're told what to be mad at and why to be mad at it. They don't know the real reasonings, but they're told to do it, so they do it because they're stupid. And I used to think stupid people were in the minority. I did. I used to think in America we have more kind, decent people who are not stupid than ignorant bigots. I was wrong. I was wrong. Actually, in America, we have more ignorant bigots than we do educated, tolerant, progressives, and liberals. Now, if that's hard for you to understand or to believe, I'm sorry. I have the stat numbers to prove it. But the fact is, when it comes to the American people, we have more uneducated, bigoted individuals than any other country on the planet. Period. And the sad part is, in most other countries, if someone is ignorant, they want to learn. And if you try to enlighten them, they will at least give it a shot. Not here. We now have reached a tipping point where in this country, if you are ignorant, you wear it as a badge of honor. If you're stupid, you go on television or you get elected president or you're the spokesperson. Kellyanne Conway is one of the most ignorant women I have ever had the curse to see in my life. She has zero brain capacity for intellectual thinking. She just doesn't. She's a sycophant who's a parrot. She repeats she's an idiot. All of his family are idiots. Eric Trump saying that people that disagree with his father aren't even people. What a stupid, idiotic thing for the son of a president to say. These people are morons. President Trump is a moron. He's going to get himself impeached, which I think is great. He keeps injecting himself into an investigation that if he just sat back may very well go away. But now he's all, no, I'll testify, I'll come in, I'll do it under oath. Well, now he's laid out the invitation. If you don't think they're going to ask him, if he doesn't, he's damned. And if he does, he's damned. And now we have Washington, D.C., and what is it, Maryland, trying to sue him, the attorneys general, because of his post office building in Washington, D.C., where the Trump Hotel is. He is in direct violation of the Constitution of the United States because that allows him to launder money from foreign governments. And now the attorney generals of two states have filed a lawsuit in federal court against Donald Trump. And they're not suing the office of the presidency for anything the president did. He's immune from prosecution for that. They're suing Donald Trump, businessman, for not releasing his tax returns to prove there's no conflict. So in the lawsuit, the first part of discovery to be done is the tax returns. They're going to have to turn them over under the power of subpoena. Everybody wants him gone so bad, they're fishing at ways to get him out. Okay? And meanwhile, in this country, we have become a very mean-spirited, ignorant place. And it's not pretty, and there's nothing positive to be said about it. You know? Someone said, Maxwell says, kick Chip and Joanna to the curb. Their silence is to be complicit. I hate that I did that last night. I switched from their show to Flipper Flop Las Vegas because I know that guy's a homophobe. He's an MMA steroidal fighter. He wants to have sex with a man, so obviously he has to hate gays. I already know that about him without him ever saying a word. And he married a beautiful blonde bimbette wife. I'm telling you, I know exactly what's going on there. But I watched that show instead, and I felt bad. I cried. Do y'all know I cried about this last night? I'm not making this up. I cried. It wasn't so much over Chip and Joanna Gaines. But I cried because I'm one of the few people, gay people, you guys that are gay listening to me, and if you're black or Hispanic, there aren't many people in America that have to worry about whether their favorite TV host denounced them as humans or not. You know? White Christian men and women and children, they don't think for a moment about it. But I actually have to worry, would this host put me in a concentration camp? Would this host repeal my right to love and marry? Does this host approve of me? If I went to them to do this project, would they even do it? Can you imagine what it's like in 2017 to still have to hear that? To still have to worry about that? Do you know what it's like? I don't want to cry, but do you know what it's like for a couple that's about to plan their marriage to have to worry about which baker they should go to so they're not turned down for a cake? See, this is what y'all don't get. Some of you do, but you don't understand that being gay is still not easy. Being gay is still not fun in America. Everyone acts like it's okay to be gay now and it's all great fun and everybody's all gendered. No. No. The bigotry and hatred towards us has doubled under Trump. Hate crimes are up across the board under Donald Trump. You know, today the Pulse nightclub shooting happened. Today, yesterday, this weekend, the Pulse nightclub shooting happened. Do you know, that made me cry because there was a story about how one of the victims went unclaimed because the father wouldn't take the remains of his dead son who had been shot in a gay nightclub. The father just left his poor, shot-up little gay body in the morgue with no one to claim because he was gay. He was the last person to be moved from the morgue because a sister finally came forward and took advantage of the city's free burial for the Pulse nightclub victims and buried him almost a year after because the father wouldn't pick up the son's remains. Why doesn't that make everybody cry? Why doesn't that outrage every single human being? I don't know. I'd like to believe my podcast is worth at least a quarter. So how about you go to my website, reallycorrell.com. That's reallycorrell.com and join Patreon right there. And every month you can give us $4.99 for the Corell cast. Buy a podcast, damn you. I agree with Randy Rhodes. Buy one. Mine.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, I gotta go. I gotta do this. Okay. Are we on? We're on.
Be with me, I must.
It is the internationally heard Corell cast. I am Charles Corell Boulay, heard right here in Long Beach, California, each and every day. Home to the Queen Mary, honey. I'm not the only queen in Long Beach. Okay, I got the tears out of my eyes because that story about them not picking up the body brought back the days of AIDS when they wouldn't pick up my friends and bring them to funeral homes. It made me realize, gee, we're not much further than that, are we? And here it is, 2017. So we had people saying the resistance march over the weekend was stupid. Those people are illiterate bigots, and they want to be, and I'm tired of trying to enlighten them, like trying to teach math to a pig. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of trying to educate America. I'm tired of trying to talk to people in a rational tone and think that everybody deserves a fair shake. They don't. No, Trump supporter, you don't deserve to march in the gay pride parade. That's like letting someone that, it's like letting the KKK march in a Jewish parade. Now, under a free spirit, you know, should we have under freedom? Yes. The gays should have allowed him. They should have. I'm serious. I am against the gay people's decision to not let the gay Trump supporter march in the parade. I understand why they did it, and I support them in spirit, but the First Amendment ain't easy. He would have gotten booed, and it might have even been a safety issue. I mean, if they had let him march, he might have even come under attack, and they might have said no out of safety concerns. And that could have been the reason, not bigotry, but safety. Like, dude, if you march, we can't keep you safe, you know? So who knows about that? So, we had all of that going on over the weekend, the resistance march. We had Trump's travel ban being blocked again. We have melanoma and Barron moving into the White House. He got off the plane with a spinner in his hand. We have come so to a place as a people where Americans are now entertained by something designed for high-functioning autistics. And the fact that we're so amused with it makes me think that many of us are high-functioning autistic. And I mean that seriously. These spinner tools were developed for high-functioning autistics, for when they get too wrapped up in something, to go ahead and focus on the spinner, and it brings them out of that state and puts them back in a more normal state. And now we have average everyday people using them. So now we're all a bunch of high-functioning autistics, basically. We are not headed in the right direction. I want to come out here every day and have fun. I'm having fun today. I'm sure I've made you laugh a couple times. We're going to keep to have fun. But, honey, we're headed in the wrong direction. So here's the deal. We just got to enjoy it, right? Try to have fun today. Ignore. I'm sorry, Facebook and Twitter, you need to post on them, but don't read them. Read my stuff. I went through and I suppressed almost every news feed on my Facebook, except ones from my close personal friends. And all of my listeners post over at the Really Carell page, so I see all that stuff there. But on the Raymond Boulay Facebook page that was set up because I have to have one in order to have another page, I don't read much of it anymore. I haven't logged on to Twitter since I started using Hootsuite to post. I don't log on to Twitter anymore. I just post to Twitter. I don't read. I get notices if someone retweets something of mine or if they make a comment to me, and I see that. But I do not log on and just read Twitter. Why would I do that now? The president's just destroyed that. Social media has been destroyed by bigots, trolls, and we won't even admit that. Let it go. Let social media go. You'll have so much more fun. You know, really. Just check on your favorite things on social media. Check on Rachel Maddow. Check on me. Check on Randy. Whatever. Leave the rest of it alone. If Bob Smith has posted something, he's a comic, but if John Doe has posted something and then all these trolls, don't get into these arguments with them. Don't even read their negative comments anymore. Just stop reading negative stuff online. Stop. The minute you start seeing that it's a negative comment, just go right past it. Don't try to reply to it. Don't answer it. Just move right beyond it because you can't let all this crap. It's too much now. Every a-hole has a microphone now, and it's just stupid. You know, gay people are upset the gays march this weekend. Why? Women had the women's march and no one asked why are women marching? Well, that's not true. The day after the women's march, there was a lot of rebellion against it too. Because that's where we are now as a people. We are a nation of thoughtful, kind, caring Americans who don't care if they're progressive, Democrat, or Republican, or religious most of the time. They just care about helping other Americans, about lively debates, about progressing our causes, about having their families and having their home lives, and about having some good country life where we're proud of our nation. Like most people that are educated and anywhere from middle of the road to all the way to left-leaning want that. You are now the minority. That's the bad news. Oh, there's still a lot of people in America that are kind and thoughtful, generous to a fault, that care and want the best for everybody. They're called progressives. Everybody else, un-American, quite frankly. And now we now have a country filled with people who are not Americans. How are we even America anymore? I mean, think about that. We really have been overtaken by idiot, bigot zealots and not Americans. I don't know how we fix that. Big bus. I am Carell. Be who you want to be. Song didn't hurt anybody.
You're listening to The Carell Show. Carell.
Come along and join with me. Don't you feel the birthday now?
of Karelcast. I am Karel. That is Stronger Together. That single is so close to being done. The video is so close to being done. So stay tuned for that. Of course, the message of that song is about diversity. It's about unity. It's about staying together. It's about how we can accomplish more as one. And it's about overcoming our differences in this time of great division. In other words, it's wishful thinking. Now, many of you know that I have a campaign sort of, I don't want to say against, against social media. I believe that Facebook, Twitter, all of it is possibly the worst social thing to ever happen to humans. We don't do well with it, and we probably shouldn't have it. But that being said, I go and speak to high school students at the Gay Student Union at Long Beach Poly every year. And they are very in tune with social media and the bullying and the name calling and all of it. Now, when I go back to high school, I remember how the halls, I mean, oh my God, I went to Long Beach Poly just 2 months ago, and I still get the anxiety when I walk down those halls. Can you imagine if those halls were now spread out to the entire world, open for the entire world to write on your locker or to shove you in a trash can? And basically, that's what the internet does. I even have a parody song I'm working on. Social media bears a strange fruit. Blood on your feed, blood on the root, black children dying on your news feed live, because that's what seems to be happening. Someone who knows a lot about that is Steve Cisneros. He is the co-founder of Phantom Projects Theater Group. He is presenting a new work at the La Mirada Theater for Performing Arts on Thursday, May 18th at 10 and 7 o'clock. That's in about 13 days, almost 2 weeks from yesterday. It's if you're in the area, I highly recommend you going to see it. It's in the La Mirada Theater for Performing Arts, Thursday, May 18th at 10 and 7 o'clock. It's called Hashtag The Wall, and we're not talking about the Berlin Wall or the one that Trump wants to build. We are talking about the social media wall, your Facebook wall, your feed wall, the thing that everybody seems to be able to access and post on. Steve, welcome to the show. Let's talk about this. I talk to kids nowadays. And God, is it a whole new age. And boy, do they have a lot more to worry about when it comes to bullying, attacks, and all of that nowadays.
Yeah, you are not kidding. This is a world that you and I, or anybody over the age of 25, really cannot relate to.
No, we really can't. We don't get it.
And unfortunately, the people who are that age are the ones who have been given the responsibility of somehow being responsible for the young people to protect them from these things, but they can't relate to it.
Right.
They don't understand it. We didn't grow up with this as a teenager, and young people in that age of 12 to 15, that's when you're finding out who you are.
Oh, gotcha.
And some of us still don't know who we are.
Right, yeah.
But in that age range, you are at your most sensitive, you're at your most, you're developing.
Oh, you think everything is world, I mean, you know, the one thing that I always, when I go back and talk to the kids, the one thing that I always want to tell them is, I go, how many of you think you have an issue right now in your life that if it goes a certain way, you're just going to die? And they all raise their hands, and I go, guess what? You're not going
to.
You're going to live right on through it. And in 10, 15 years, it won't even matter. Trust me, here I am. But you don't believe that at the time. Listen, I have been in a high-profile position, blessed to be in a high-profile position for a long time. And when I mess up, people are ruthless. I got to watch Bill O'Reilly, now fired. I got to watch Bill O'Reilly berate me for a week on national television in front of my friends, my family.
Wow.
You know, I get to read what right-wingers say about me online. I've had things written on my garage door, die of AIDS, although they spelled it A-I-D-E-S, which was classic. Or I've had a plumber's wrench thrown through my front window that says die fag, you know, because I insulted Joe the plumber. So I know what it's like to have people and to have their vitriol. I'm a public figure. I signed up for that. Kids don't.
Right.
And they don't realize that when they're posting, what they're really doing is making themselves a public figure. So let's talk about the wall and how you're bringing, because theater should be transformative. It should be entertaining, but it can also be transformative. It can make you think. Good theater can really do a lot of things. Let's talk about the wall. What is it?
Well, it's part of our outreach that we do through our theater program at Phantom Project. This is our 20th anniversary doing what we do, and I actually started it when I was 17 years old because at that age, there was nothing out there speaking to me as a young person. Fast forward to now, we're almost 40, and the message and the idea of the concept is still there. Get young performers to take part in our once-a-year message-based program. We've done shows about teen pregnancy, drugs, eating disorders, and this year, social media, because that's becoming the hot topic. And so the idea of hashtag the wall is to have young people on stage performing a live show about everything they're kind of dealing with, and then having a post-show discussion with the young audience afterwards so that they can learn from other young people who are going through the exact same things. Because as talented as anybody else is, how you or I may be, if we're on stage, they're tuning out at that point.
Right.
We don't relate in their eyes. And so to have other, you know, we've got 14-year-olds in the show up to 19-year-olds, and they're living out their life on stage, and it's very personal. This show has been developed by
analogy, and I hope that you can bring this to their attention through your play. Steve Cisneros, co-founder of Phantom Project's theater group, now in its 28 years, bringing this kind of theater to kids and to adults, be at the La Mirada Theater for Performing Arts Thursday, May 18th and at 10 and 7. I know I'm heard in the Southland, so please turn up for this. But let me tell you this. When you talk about living their lives out on stage, I hope the analogy is not lost on them. That as an audience sitting and watching this play, the people on stage are actually them when they're posting online and everybody's sitting there watching them. Because
exactly.
When you post, you are on stage. You are putting your work on stage.
And you can't take that back.
Nope.
And one of the things we did,
there
Carell,
will never be a naked
show.
Picture of me ever online. Ever, ever, ever. Never, ever.
Well,
I've never taken a naked picture. You know why? If you take one, it will get out one day. Besides, there was a sex tape of me, and the only network that wanted it was National Geographic, and that was an embarrassment. So I just went off with that. But, and it was just sad. It was sad. It was sad. Steve Cisneros is my guest. Because they really think, oh, look, I just sent a topless picture of me on Snapchat, it's gone forever. Wrong!
Right. Wrong every way.
Yeah.
And you know, because we prep for the Q&A coming up, you know, that's all spontaneous, but we do talk in great length with our teen performers about this message. And one of the things we found out, first of all, schools ultimately are not talking about this. They're not educating the young people because the schools don't know how, for one, because they don't understand it.
Right.
And two, when we were talking about exactly what you just mentioned about these, you know, sexting, the photos getting out there, things like that, the students in the cast, the teens in this cast, when I was talking about revenge porn and forever elements, their eyes got so wide because they were learning things they just had not thought about, because when you're that age group,
you're not thinking about
beyond that.
Everybody says,
in front of you.
Everybody,
exactly.
Steve Cisneros is my guest, and everybody says, well, how come they don't know better? Because they're 14.
Exactly. And who's teaching them?
Right.
Nobody. Because when we the parents of those 14-year-olds are getting on Facebook right now themselves, and guess what? Young people are not on Facebook anymore because mom, dad, and grandma are on there.
Right.
You know, and they're on Snapchat, they're on Instagram. Those are the top two. And mom and dad are on those. And if mom and dad got on those, then the young people would go to the next one from there. They're one step ahead.
Just FYI, I don't use Facebook anymore. I use Snapchat and Instagram.
Those are the top places, and you know what? Parents are trying to keep up, and as much as young people say we want more parental involvement, turned on them. You want parental involvement to the point that you want your parents involved, meaning you want to draw a line and say, this is how involved you can be. Because if a parent went to a teen and said, let me see your phone right now, that teen would freeze in fear.
And you know,
it would not hand it over.
The time Steve Cisneros, co-founder of Phantom Project's theater group, they're presenting the play by Bruce Gevertsman. Please don't make
Gevertsman,
me say it.
Yes, you got it.
And Steve Cisneros at the La Mirada Theater for Performing Arts Thursday, May 18th at 10 and 7. You know, back in my day, I'll give bullies this. They had to at least get in your face to be a bully.
Right.
In other words, so it took some gumption on their part to be a bully. They had to write on your locker. They had to either do something illegal or get in your face to be a bully. Nowadays, it is so easy to be an anonymous sloth of a bully behind a keyboard and say totally hurtful things without ever looking the person in the eye. And it hurts these kids. They take it so personally, and they kill themselves, as we know. Suicide rates still soaring. Let me ask you, in this Trumptonian era that we, this really mean era that we live in now, and it is very mean-spirited, even our president's very mean-spirited. So in this mean-spirited era, are kids getting the message? How are we protecting our kids, in other words, online from all of this horror that's out there? Because there are some trolls out there that are very mean people.
Right. Well, and you know, the interesting point you brought about bullies, you know, back in the day, if a bully bullied you, they could at one point actually turn around and say, I'm sorry, and it could start mending that fence. Yes. But nowadays, if that bully puts that video online, even if they apologize, the damage is done. It's out there.
And it's
it will
forever.
Follow you forever in that sense. And one of the things that we talked about as a cast recently was that if you're a jerk in person, you're going to be a jerk online. And so the idea of social media...
Oh, that's what I say about cocaine back in the 80s. They said, oh, but it enhances who you are. I said, what if you're an a-hole?
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's very true concept right there, because you know people are scared of, well, social media, so I don't understand it. Well, guess what? Take out that element. People who are mean are just going to be mean online again. And so the teen cast really had a great revelation just 2 days ago talking about that. You know, take away the layer of social media, and the idea of who we are as people is what needs to be focused on still and talked about. And they were actually, as a group, and I loved hearing this, we were saying, well, what can parents do to, because the show is for parents too to learn about this as well. What can parents do? You know what they all said, which I would have never really guessed this. They said, parents need to give young people a reason to go out and do things and spend time with their parents and their family, but but so often the parents are the ones handing over the phone to keep the kid quiet in the backseat or to keep someone distracted. And these teenagers, mature teenagers in this cast, by the way, were saying, if parents would just say, we had one actor who said, my mom used to see me on the phone all the time, so she said, you know what, text the friend you're texting and say, come over and you guys can hang out in the backyard, we'll make burgers and we'll have, you know, we'll make a thing out of it. She goes, and when that, her mom made that conscious effort to kind of be ahead of it in that way, she said it opened her eyes to so many things at that point. And but so often parents are so busy and stretched in different directions that, you know, they give, here, go do this, and they're not trying to then, it's like a replacement at that point for an activity.
Well, and
you know,
I,
and that's damage.
I have a huge editorial about my breakup with social media and how I still have to use it for my show and everything, because social media was actually made for me, for entertainers, for journalists, for broadcasters. That's really who should be posting live. No one has a need to go live on Facebook. There's no one that really needs to go live. Unless you're ABC, CBS, Wall Street Journal, me, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Joe Blow out there in his car, and now they're putting beatings live on Facebook. They're putting killings live on Facebook, and our kids are seeing this. You know, that's what this play is about, how to help your kids deal with it. The play is La Mirada Theater for Performing Arts on Thursday, May 18th, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. It's called Hashtag The Wall. You can find out more online at LaMiradaTheater.com or PhantomProjects.com. Steve Cisneros has been doing Phantom Projects for about 20 years now, and it's a way to bring theater and children together, adolescents and their parents, in a way to hopefully learn about each other and move forward. You know, one of the themes of the show today, you couldn't have known this, but I had this revelation this morning. It's too easy to say and to just call people idiots, because I know a lot of nice idiots. I know a lot of idiots who would be very sweet. It's not just that people are stupid nowadays. They're also turning mean, and we have to address that. We need to start addressing that America is turning into a very mean place, and if we don't address it, it'll just keep getting worse, and your play does that. Thank you so much, Steve, for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. We've been on before, and anytime you do these projects, I'd love to have you on. If you are in the LA area, Thursday, May 18th at 10 and 7, please go. I hope you videotape these things one day and release them for the world, because they need these sort of things. So
it is an intent. Yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely.
Well, I know it takes a budget, honey. I know. I'm there. Believe me, I'm there. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Carell. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye. Carellcast. I am Carell, almost out of here. So glad you've joined me this week. Yes, I feel good today. I feel good. My back does not hurt. Look at me standing almost erect here. No pain in my lower back. Why am I having surgery? Why am I going to have surgery? Well, I'm having surgery because at any moment I could be on the floor, and I'm tired of that. So also, I postponed it because I realized that May 27th, when I was going to have the surgery, that's Memorial Day weekend. I was already uneasy about having it on a Saturday at a hospital that I sued for killing my husband. But I'm not going in on the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend to have surgery in the hospital that killed my husband on Gay Pride weekend. I'm just not doing it. And I'm still iffy. I mean, I'm going to have the surgery, but I'm still iffy about the doctor. I want the doctor that I've seen for 20 years to do it. But if he, I just don't know that I can go into Long Beach Memorial. I sued them. And when I, in during discovery, when I found out all the horrible things that have happened at that hospital, I just, then again, every hospital, you know, but, oh. And I can go to Cedars. It's just 40 miles away, but it's where every celebrity goes, you know. Whenever a celebrity dies, it's at Cedars. So I kind of don't want to go there because, you know, I don't want to die at Cedars. So anyway, so we'll see. It's all coming up. I'll let you guys know. I'll be gone for at least a week from the show, probably just a week from the show. After 7 days, they said I can sit for, because I won't be able to sit for 20 minutes and all this other stuff. So I'm having a laminectomy if all goes according to plan. All right. It's been a fun week. No, it's been an effed up week, hasn't it? What an effed up week it's been. Oh my God, what a terrible week. Just, we had Trump give religion more power in government, which our founders would just hate. Then this evil, evil repeal of the healthcare bill. Just, I read a headline that it's possibly the most evil thing the Republican Party has ever done, and it has. And every healthcare organization, in a strong show of unity that's never even happened before, every one of them opposes the new plan. You know, and this is my life. This is your life. And I want to explain it to you this way. Essentially want us to think of this as a business. If Trump is our CEO, that means Congress is our board of directors. Now, our board of directors has said, not only are we not going to give you, the people who employ us, any access to health care, but we're going to continue to buy our own with your money from someone else, even though we own a health company called Medicare. So our company, the United States, owns a healthcare company called Medicare, but our employees, Congress, use our money to buy a platinum plan that covers everything while voting to deny us plans for anything. That is like owning a restaurant and paying your employees to eat someplace else. And I don't know why we all can't see that. I don't know why we all don't think of it that way, but that's exactly what's happening. We are paying our employees to buy insurance from a private company that is better than anything that we can get, and we already own a company they could get insurance through. It's called Medicare. And if they did, Medicare would be the best system of healthcare on the planet. If we made Congress, if we said, look, you can buy your own policy since you're rich, or if you want our policy, it's Medicare because we own that. So Medicare for you, or you buy your own policy. Why can't we do that? Why can't we say to Congress, you get Medicare for free. It's yours because you're a congressperson, so you get our Medicare plan. But if you want anything else, you got to buy it. Everything would change. Everything about healthcare would change if we did that. But we won't. And the headline from The Hill, Trump is on a mission to win even if Americans die in the process. White House fires first woman to hold chief usher position. Isn't this all great? Carter Page been asked by Senate to reveal Russian connections. North Korea, more rumblings there. You know, between what's his name saying the end of days are here, you know, Hawking's. This weekend, I need y'all to go out and get, like, have a good time. We better just start having good time. It's Cinco de Mayo. Go have fun. I mean, why not? It appears that everything is going to hell. So go have fun, but don't get sick or hurt because there's no health care for you. So go have fun, but if you have too much fun, you should just die because, quite frankly, you'll go bankrupt otherwise. By the way, bankruptcies under the last 2 years of Obama's fell by almost 40%. You know why? Because the number one cause of bankruptcy in this country is medical bills. And under Obamacare, they didn't have those bills anymore, so people weren't going bankrupt. I guess that's a problem for the Trump administration. All right, I am Carell. Be who you want to be, so long as it doesn't hurt anybody. Thanks for joining me today. And don't forget, we are alive because of you. Today I got a $1,000 payout through Patreon. I thank every one of you patrons. Just know that like 900 of that is already spoken for bills. And I thank you that I have it to pay those bills. So thank you so very much. And if you want to help our show with $5 a month, just go to reallycarell.com and click on the Patreon. That's how we stay going. We will not. Also, the TV show is in production. We sure could use your support. It's through GoFundMe. And again, that's at reallycarell.com. Darling, you can't call it a smartphone if you don't have the free CorelCast on it, because the CorelCast app turns the smartness of your phone from zero to genius with just a launch of a button. FYI, it may pop up that I collect stuff, but I don't. It's a free app, and I keep your anonymity.
You're listening to The Corel Show. Corel.